continue on in our series in the book of 1 Peter. We are going to skip over verses 1 through 11. We want to save those verses for Sunday evenings when we have a family in here together and talk a little bit during the Sunday nights here after the Bible, a little bit about the family, all the way to Father's Day. I think it's some great verses there. And I want to be able to have all the people that were in the back. Here in verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." It's wonderful verse.
Aren't you thankful that God is watching over us? Aren't you thankful that his ears are open unto us? But also, it says that he hides his face to them against them that do what evil. Verse 13 here, you see, "And who is he that will harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing, than for evil doing." Wonderful passages of scriptures here. The title of tonight's message is "Be Ready Always." Be ready always. And here's the thought. You ever heard the question, "Are you ready yet?" I know you ladies have heard that question. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't know about you, but I know that's famous where, you know, ladies are upstairs trying to make themselves look nice and the husband's down at the bottom of the steps or in the living room tapping their foot many times. And okay, are you ready? And then after a while, when you lose your patience, are you ready yet? I mean, here's the idea here is, are you ready to live for God? And readiness is a part of life. The Word of God tells us to be ready, always to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And you know what? I know that if you've ever heard me do a funeral service, many times when there is a person who I knew was saved, I'll say that they were prepared to die. And I always make the little byline and try to clarify that. They weren't prepared to die because of the fact that they had given up on life or because they were ready to go. They weren't prepared to die because they had made the arrangements at the funeral home. They weren't prepared to die because of the fact that it could be a lot of different reasons. That's not the idea of being prepared to die or ready to die. When you're truly prepared to meet God is when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior. And it's not being prepared because you're finally ready to leave this life. It's the idea of being ready to meet God, because the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. The Bible tells us that there's a day of reckoning. The Bible tells us that after death, there's judgment. So there is a preparation that's involved there. And you know what? It is so much easier to talk about death and dying. And the reason why is because we're not doing it this moment. More than likely, most of us are going to continue on living past tonight. I can venture that probably all of us would. So it's easy to talk about death. It's easy to talk about dying because we're not experiencing it this second. But here in this passage of Scripture, I believe it's talking about ready to live. And here's the question. Are you ready to live for Christ? It's not about just being ready to someday meet God. I think there's some preparations that need to happen. And these verses help us understand there's a point to be ready to live for God. And there's three different things here I want you to see in just a second. But before we get there, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture in verse number 13. It says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" I think that's a kind of a break off of what verse number 12 says when it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And you continue on to verse number 13, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" And we got to always remember what time period this was written in. Peter is writing to the group of Christians, and they are facing persecution. They are not knowing if they are going to live another day just because of the fact they claim to be a Christian. They've lost loved ones. They've been persecuted, and they've been tortured, and it was a horrible time for them. And it's kind of interesting when it goes here in verse number 13, he says, "And who is he that will harm you?" And who's going to harm you? Well, I think some of those Christians could have raised their hands and said, "Well, Nero could harm us. The soldiers could harm us. All these people could harm you." And I think Peter is looking past now and looking to the future and saying, you know, who's going to harm you? Who can take you away from the love of God? What can separate you from the love of God? And we know that passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8. We also know where it says in Romans chapter 8, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And it's just an amazing thought here. Are you ready to live for the Lord? He's saying, look, don't be terrorized. Don't be fearful of what someone else can do to you. And it says, "If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror." See, some people can be very cruel to other people. Some people are evil, and some people are directed by the devil, and they listen to what the devil say, and they do evil things, and they have an evil intent. They want to harm others. They want to make people fearful. And what these verses are saying, and once again, you say, there aren't really people out there like that. Well, there sure is. And in this day and time, the people you're writing to, they were facing death. They were facing cruelty. They were facing just horrible circumstances. Not just for themselves, but for their families, for their children. And Paul is saying, look, don't let this be fearful to you. You know why? Because fear comes not from God, but from the devil. See, I think it's important we don't allow evil people to terrorize us and put fear in our heart. I know sometimes in the day and time we live in, we see people, even some that are in high places and even in government officials that are pushing agendas that are evil and pushing agendas that are wicked and pushing they are pushing things that are trying to cause up racial tensions, and they're pushing things to try to tear America apart and tear America's heritage apart. And the Bible's saying, look, we don't need to be afraid of them. We need to remember nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. We need to remember what the Bible says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." And yes, there are people who are trying to introduce fear, even terrorism and terrorists who are trying to put fear in our hearts. But God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's where you come to this passage of scripture and you understand how this is written. He's telling them how to live. He's not telling him to be prepared to die, because this is written to believers. He's saying, look, let's live like the eyes of the Lord are over us. Let's live our lives like the ears are open to us. Let's live our lives remembering that they cannot harm us, and the idea that they cannot do anything to us that's going to separate us from the love of God. No matter what happens here in this world, we will get to spend eternity forever in heaven. And that's what he's saying. This is how we're supposed to live. This is how we're supposed to look. We're supposed to sanctify the Lord Jesus in our heart. We're supposed to be living a certain way. I know that most of us were professed to be Christians, and we're prepared to meet God someday, and we're thankful for that. But what are we going to do from here on out? Now, it's kind of interesting. You see Peter writing this, but we remember when Peter was sitting by that fire. And he was sitting by that fire, and because he was fearful, what did he say? He said, "I don't know him." He said, "I didn't know him," three different times. He was fearful of a little maid saying the question, and another saying that question. Now he's telling them, look, don't worry about what could happen to you. What's the difference? He's seen the risen Savior. He knows it's true. He knows that there is nothing that's going to be able to separate him. That night he was worried. That night he was scared. But now, after he saw Christ rise again from the dead, he knew that if death and the grave could not hold back Jesus Christ, there's nothing that was going to be able to separate them. And Peter's saying, here, look, let's live this way. Well, it says in verse 14, "But if you suffer for righteousness' sake," and Peter had. Peter knows he's going to die. Jesus told him in the last chapter of John that he was going to die the same way that Christ died. But Peter even faced trials that were from the Sanhedrin. He even faced beatings from religious leaders. We see that. But he was happy that he was able to persecute it for Christ's sake. And that's what he says here. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Here, we need to be ready to live. And with this readiness, we need to be ready for what might come of a day. You know, in the book of James, it teaches us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So here's the point of the message tonight. Are we ready to live? Because I tell you, we've got to be ready for what could happen. That's what he's saying here. Be ready always to give an answer to every man to ask you if you have a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Would you be ready to explain? Would you be able to be used by God the answer of your faith, your hope? And we don't ever know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen a week from now. We really don't know what's going to happen a year from now. And that's what these people who are living under fear, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, Peter gives them this information. Peter gives them this encouragement. And are you ready to live? I know most of you are ready to die in the idea that you're ready to meet God. Not because you have some morbid death wish, but because of the fact that you know God, and if you're taken off this world, you're going to be in a better place. But are you prepared and ready to live? Here's three things. Readiness involves preparation. Readiness involves preparation. You know what? I meet a lot of sincere people about their salvation, but I meet a lot of people who are sincerely wrong. You think about the story of Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. He had lived this religious life his whole entire life. He had done a lot. He probably had the Old Testament completely memorized. And he was a religious leader today, not just a religious leader. He was up towards the top. And he was sincere in his faith. He believed that traditions and that ritualism was going to get him to heaven. But the truth was, Jesus said, you must be born again. And it doesn't matter how sincere a person is, they can be sincerely wrong and die and still go to hell without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't care how many people say, hey, as long as you're sincere in your beliefs, you're going to get there. You know what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the truth is, Jesus Christ either was the Son of God, who he was, and the only way to heaven, or he was the greatest liar and we're all in trouble. And I choose to believe that he was our Savior and that he is the only way for new birth and new life. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. You know, people sincerely attend church. People sincerely give. People have their Bibles. They have their motions of praying. Sometimes I think they put us to shame. Sometimes the forcefulness or the way that they go about it and some other religions, because it's based, they think that has something to do with their salvation. But the truth is, we need to be prepared. If we're ever going to be always ready, it begins with this first step. Are you prepared to meet God someday? Are you prepared? There are many people who are saved. There are many people who are on their way to heaven. They're prepared to meet God. But the question is, are you preparing yourself to live in this world? What do you mean? Well, readiness involves preparation. I don't know about you, but I'm not a guy who gets ready the night before. My wife is a lady who will go out and she'll get her clothes out. She'll iron them if they need to be ironed. She'll lay out all her jewelry. She'll lay out everything and she's ready and she's prepared for the next day. And all she has to do is get up and just get ready. Me, I'm the type of guy that likes to procrastinate and I don't lay my clothes out. I don't iron. I do that in the morning times most times. So I'm not prepared for the next day. I'm not ready to go. I need some more time to get ready. And here's the idea is, are you prepared to live tomorrow for Christ? Have you been on your knees? Have you been where God is, as we talked about a few Sunday nights ago? Have you been in your Bible? Do you have a clear conscience? Are your sins confessed? Are your sins ready? Do you have anything that's breaking your fellowship between you and God? Are you ready and prepared to live? Always be ready. Be ready always. Readiness involves preparation. And obviously the first thing is, are you saved? Second thing, are you preparing to live like a Christian tomorrow? Are you preparing? If someone has a question, says, I know there's something different about you, or they see your Faith Baptist Church shirt, or you have one of those bumper stickers on your car, or maybe they know you go to church, or maybe you invited somebody to church, would you have a gospel tract with you to give to somebody and say, well, here, this tells you about how to go to heaven? Lots of times they're very simple. Maybe you don't feel comfortable about speaking to someone about it, but you know what? You could open up that tract and God could use that tract. But are you ready for that? I remember hearing a preacher one time give the illustration that he had witnessed a car accident, and it was really a bad car accident, and they were there, and he was getting ready to go there. He went to help the person, and before the ambulance came, and he said one of the saddest things in the world was that he had some sin in his heart, and he had to take time to confess that before he could go over and try to win that person to Christ. He wasn't prepared to be able to witness in somebody. He wasn't prepared to make a difference in someone else's life. He wasn't prepared to, like we talked about last week, giving that advice that many times is so needed, but we're not preparing ourselves to do those things. We're going to take it when it comes, and we're just going to get ready to do it when the opportunity happens. That's not what God's talking about here. That's not what Peter's talking about here. He's saying, be ready always. It says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you if you have a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And there's a certain way to do it. It's with meekness and fear. We're not going to spend much time with that, but I want you to understand, readiness involves preparation. If we want to be right with the Lord, we got to make sure that we're preparing to be used by God. You say it's all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. Yes, the Holy Spirit will give you the words if you're right with the Lord. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're right. He'll give you exactly what you need. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? That's being prepared. That's being ready. You're producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God can use you. But are you ready? First thing is readiness involves preparation. Second thing is readiness involves a person. Readiness involves a person. You see what it says in verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. If you are going to be ready to live, not just talking about being ready to die. Most of us have that taken care of. We know when we meet God, we're going to be there. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be there for eternity. But this is referring to, are you ready to live for Him? And Peter says, look, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He's saying, don't be afraid in verse number 14. He's saying that don't worry about those that can harm you, but instead keep your focus on Jesus Christ. This means that we belong to Christ. We are to look to Him. We gain strength. We gain encouragement and help when we look to the Lord in the hour of our difficulty. Why do you think there's so many songs? He talked about being near to the cross or surveying the cross. Why do you think there's so many songs about that? It's because Christ was the one that was on the cross. And as we keep our eyes focused on Him, as we see what He's done for us, it is preparing us for the difficulties and the hours of suffering that will happen. It takes preparation to be ready. But it takes a person to be ready. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look to Him. Jesus Christ, He even says, look unto Jesus. To live victorious, we must keep our eyes focused on Him. To live victorious, we cannot keep our eyes focused on other things. Sometimes we let people and things discourage us. Sometimes, as we see in verse number 14, we let people terrorize us. Sometimes the number one person who troubles us more than anything else is ourselves. And the only way we can have victory is to get our eyes off of us and put our eyes on Christ and have our focus on Him. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, that famous chapter when it comes to the hall of faith or whatever you want to call it. All those different characters. You think about the Abrahams, the Isaac, the Moses, the Gideons. Verses right after that says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says, looking unto Jesus. This is the point. Is they didn't look at this world. They didn't look at the things around them. Their eyes are focused. As Abraham said, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. His eyes were not focused on here, it was on there. And if we want to be ready to face the trials and the hardships and the temptations that are going to be faced, we don't know how long on earth we're going to be here. We don't know what's going to happen. But if we keep our eyes focused on Him, we keep our eyes on the prize, we will always be ready for every circumstance. We'll be ready for whatever happens in our life. To be ready, we must keep our eyes focused on the person of Jesus Christ. All I must do is follow the Lord. He will lead me one day at a time. At the end of that day, I can say, okay, Lord, whatever you have for me tomorrow. Now, I know that you're saying it's easy to say, hard to do. Well, what are you looking at? Are we always focusing on our situations? Are we always focusing on the faults of our wives or our husbands? Are we focusing on our own faults? Are we focusing on the world's problems? Are we keeping our eyes focused on Jesus? I'm not saying we put our head into the sand and ignore everything that happens around us. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says as we get close to Him, He'll lead us, He'll guide us, He'll direct us. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He'll give us what we want to do and what we need to do in America and what we need to do at Faith Baptist Church and what we need to do with our families and what we need to do with a husband or wife that we're having trouble with. And you might be having struggles in your life. They happen inside your home. Even if there's Christians inside that house, there's going to be still problems. And even on your job, you might say, I don't have the strength. The truth is, we need to look at Jesus. He has the strength for us. Think about what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:9. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul had something he was focusing on. Paul says, look, can you get rid of this? He asked it three times. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. I want you to keep your eyes focused on me. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, if we go to somebody else and we talk about our problems or our hurts and our infirmities, you know, sometimes we'll find a sensitive ear. And sometimes we'll find somebody who says, you know what, that's just not right. That's just not fair. That shouldn't be happening to you. But you get close to the Lord, you get to what the Word of God says. You know, the Word of God says His grace is sufficient for thee. That's the type of advice that we need. That's how we need to look at our lives. That's when we face things and when we take these walks through. Yes, the world is not fair. Yes, problems are going to happen. Yes, even people are going to disappoint us. But if Christ is saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, you know what? That's going to prepare us for the problems we're going to have. If we turn around and say, if everything goes well, then I'm going to live for God. That's not preparing us to be ready, is it? But if we are willing to say, my grace is sufficient for thee, strength is made perfect in weakness. And I don't know how many times I've told myself that. Look, when I'm weak and when things are struggling, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, Lord, I want your strength in my life. And that will prepare us for the outcome of our lives. That will prepare us for tomorrow. That will prepare us to get ready to face what we need to face. But if we spend all our time on Facebook, if we spend all our time on TV, if we spend all our time with worldly people, you know what? That's not going to prepare us to be ready. But if we spend time with the Lord, and we will always be ready, what are you putting in your life on a daily basis? What is it that you're preparing yourself for? I know there's a lot of things that you prepare. People prepare meals. They get things ready. They cut things up. They saute things. They put things all together. There's a lot of things that are important for prayer. Are you even preparing to live for God tomorrow? When you get up in the morning time and you know that you need to spend time with God, but you also know your whole list of things you need to do. And he's like, I know I should pray. I know I should read my Bible. I know I should do this. I know I should do that to get ready. That's what you're doing, is you're preparing to get into the world, get out there to meet the world, always to be ready to give an answer. Are you preparing for that? Most of the time we get up and we want to hit the snooze bar or snooze button or whatever it is, and we want to wait and just hurry yourself along and not take the time to be prepared. The Bible says that what we put in is what's going to come out. What are you putting in your life? Whatever you are putting into your life now will come out of your life during a time of trials and tests. Whatever you're preparing for, that's what's going to come out. I know we've used that illustration about the tea bag, and it wasn't the water, it was what's inside the tea bag that flavors the coffee or the tea, excuse me. And we like to think that it's circumstances that are causing us to act a certain way. But the Bible speaks so much about keeping our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why is it so important that we keep our heart right? It's because we're preparing for something. We're preparing to live for God. Mark, it said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So he has prepared his heart with good things. And what is he doing? He is bringing forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. It's what comes out is what we've put in there. If we're going to be ready to live, then we need to be able to give the right answer. I think about, you read this passage of scripture and it says in verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. Now I think about the story of Stephen. They brought false witnesses up there. Stephen was ready to give that answer. Why was Stephen ready to give that answer? It's because Stephen was prepared. Stephen had already been chosen to be a deacon because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was doing good things. He was putting good things in. And when he was challenged and when he was falsely accused, it says that it was like he had the face of an angel. You know, that didn't just happen all overnight. That did not just happen because he said a prayer before the thing and, you know, he was ready to meet that counsel. He knew that this might cost him his life. He knew that this was going to be huge when it come to his life and what was going to happen. But he was ready to give that answer. And what a wonderful passage of scripture. You go back and read that sermon. You think I was long-winded. That's a long sermon there that Stephen was preaching. And he preached to them. He knew exactly what to say. Where did that come from? That come because he was prepared. He didn't turn around and he didn't say, I didn't do that and I didn't do this and I didn't. He didn't worry about the false accusations. What did he do? He preached the word of God. He was ready to give that answer. He says, this is the truth. They needed to hear that. So, well, it didn't help anything. They killed him. As I told you before, I think because of Stephen's testimony, that began to prick Paul's heart, or Saul's heart at the time. And I think Saul began to think as the things I think he had already been thinking about. And how could Stephen sit there and have the face of an angel? And how could Stephen say he looked up into heaven and saw Christ standing up? You know, I think all that caused Saul to realize his need, and that when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he knew that that was the Lord. And he got that right. Why did it happen? I think partially because of the fact of what Stephen had experienced. Stephen was ready. Last but not least, readiness involves purity. Readiness involves purity. You look in at verse number 16 and 17, it says, having a good conscience. Now that is such a wonderful thing, having a good conscience, a clear conscience. It says, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. This coming Sunday, I'm not sure how much time we're going to spend about it, but we're going to consider Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar. Potiphar's wife said that Joseph tried to rape her, and Joseph gets sent to jail for it. And we see that Jesus was falsely accused. We see Paul has been falsely accused here. And Peter, I'm sure, will be falsely accused. And because of that, he's going to be, even when he was standing before the Sanhedrin, all these different things, they make up these accusations so that way they can put them to death. And Peter's saying, having a good conscience. If we're truly going to be ready to give an answer to any man about the hope that is in us, we must have a good conscience. If we're going to be prepared and ready, we must have a conscience that is clear. Ultimately, we have to live with what we know about ourselves. We cannot have peace in our hearts without being able to live with ourselves. We're never going to be able to give that answer until we are willing to be able to have a clear conscience that God can use us. The conscience is something God put in us. It is not God in us, but it is something God put in us to help us. And God says we are to keep a good conscience. I don't know about you, but we cannot live a lie if we're planning on being ready to give an answer. We cannot deceive people and be ready to give an answer. Some people think it's easy to lie and get out of things, but lying is sin and it does damage to the conscience and it keeps us from having a good conscience. We cannot be ready if you do not have a good conscience. The person who lives a lie cannot have peace in their heart because they cannot have peace in their heart. How can they talk about the peace that Christ has to offer? I cannot keep people from saying bad things about me or you, but we can live in such a way that when people say things, everyone else knows that's not true. You know, I if someone came up to me and said, well, this person told me a lie. You know what? There are certain people I say, well, that could have happened because they lied to me before. And then there's other people that they said that this person told me a lie. I would not accuse that person of lying, but I would think, you know what? That person's never ever told me a lie before, and I've dealt with them many times. And because of that, I really question what's being said about that person. What are you getting at? Paul, he stood before the council and he says, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Then 2 Corinthians, they are questioning him. They're questioning all about him. They're questioning his livelihood. They're saying, "Paul, you have no rights. You have no authorities." And they question the way he preaches. They question the way he looks. They question the people he's around. And Paul is able to say to these people, "For our rejoicing is this." He said, "This is the thing I can rejoice in." You can say everything you want to about me, but this is the thing I'll remind you of. The testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. He's saying, look, my conscience is clear. You can say whatever you want to me, the church of Corinth, these people that were trying to cause the problems. He says, my conscience is clear. I rejoice in the fact that I know how I dealt with you. I know how I've treated you. I know what I've preached. And all of it's clear because I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And that's what the passages of Scripture is saying here. If we're going to be ready, first of all, we have to be prepared. And the idea that readiness deals with preparation. We have to be prepared to meet God someday. And then we need to be preparing to give that answer. We also need to understand that readiness involves a person, which is Jesus Christ. But it also involves purity. How many of us have really ever done anything for God when we had secret sin in our life? Our hearts are burdened. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are like, man, I hope nobody finds out about this. I hope that this doesn't come to light. I hope that, you know what, that's guilt. And we need to get right with the Lord. And I know that we've all sinned in the past. None of us are perfect. But Paul's a perfect example. He killed Christians, but God was still able to use him. He was able to say his conscience was clear. He had gotten things right with God. And if we're truly going to be ready, always ready to give an answer, always being prepared, we're going to have a clear conscience. We're not going to have that pet sin that we kind of put off to the side and don't let people touch. And when the preacher talks about it, it just dismisses. That doesn't apply to me. We're going to have to be pure and be conscience clean. We're going to have to realize there's nothing between us and the Lord. You say, "Pastor, it's easy to stand up there and say those things." I'm not always there. But this is what we should be getting. This is what we should be going towards. This is what we should be looking towards, being spirit-filled, having a clear conscience, keeping our eyes focused on Christ, and preparing to do something for God. Tomorrow morning, what are you going to prepare to do? We're going to prepare to get our clothes ready. We're going to prepare to get a shower, prepare our breakfast, prepare to do whatever it is that's on our docket for tomorrow. But are you going to give any thought to prepare to answer the question that might be given to you about the hope that's in you? Are you going to prepare to do anything spiritual tomorrow? Because if our life is supposed to be Jesus Christ, we're here to glorify him. Am I preparing in any way, shape, or form to be able to always be ready to give that answer? I think it's very challenging to think this idea, be ready always. I think Peter, when he writes, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks if you have a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." There is people there. "Are you a Christian?" If they said yes, they would die. He says, look, always be ready. How are you supposed to know what to do and what to say? Be prepared. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Have a pure conscience. Let him lead you. Let's go ahead and stand to our